want to rejoice in what we've heard. One grace. What's called the imminent second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imminent. Any day now. Now, Brother Andy did not say that Jesus was going to come tomorrow. I did not hear him say that. I am not saying that Jesus is going to come tomorrow. But he could. And we're to live every day of our lives just like that. I want to turn to the fifth chapter of Revelation. But I want to read you that fifth chapter. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. Because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto us and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. I'll say amen to that too. Now if you're hoping I'm talking about the seven seals, I'm going to disappoint you. What I want to talk about is the fifth verse. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. John is weeping. He said, I wept much. There was no man found in heaven, on earth, or under the earth that was worthy. We were in a state where we were without strength. We were in a state where we were without a mediator, without a daysman. And there was no man. There's a scripture that says the Lord looked down from heaven for one, and there was none. No man. Why do we weep? Whether we weep for the sins that are prevalent in our world today, and we can't turn on the television set, or open up a newspaper, or turn on the radio without more and more evidence of human depravity. Everywhere we turn, we see evidence of human depravity. In our own lives, we see evidence of human depravity. Enough to cause us to weep. Have you wept over your sins? Have you wept over the sins of those close to you? John saw this throne and this book and he wept. He wept for a world that needed to be judged, but judgment was withheld. But not forever. See, when big seals start coming open, judgment is coming. Judgment upon the earth for wickedness. The Lord is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that you shall also reap. In Revelation, it talks about those who were beheaded for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking, how long until we be avenged? And no one was ready. No one in heaven, no one in the earth, no one under the earth. No man was worthy. No man was worthy to execute judgment. No man was earth worthy to bring salvation. No man. And John wept much. The elder said, weep not. Now, there were a people that went about crying, peace, peace, where there's no peace. There were a people who were trying to preach a message of peace and joy when there was no peace and joy. And God rebuked them. There were those who tried to convince Israel that no matter what it seems, God would stand beside her. God called them liars. God proved them liars. Why would this come to you and say, weep not? You'd have cause to doubt. But see, the elder didn't just say, weep not. The elder didn't say, be full. Remember, James talks about that. Someone is naked and hungry. And you say unto them, be warm and full. What have you done? Unless you provide that which is necessary for them to be warm and full. It's empty. The world is full of empty promises. The world is full of empty solutions. Solutions that don't solve anybody's problems. Solutions that may appear to have a grain of wisdom, but no rock of understanding. The elder doesn't just say, weep not, but he gives us abundant reason to rejoice. See, when God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God, he didn't stop there. He didn't just tell Isaiah, you comfort my people. No, he gave Isaiah a message of comfort. He said, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Isn't that an interesting word? You ever meditated on that word? Didn't say finished. Didn't say over. He said accomplished. You know what that means? What that means to me is your warfare is accomplished. The battle is won. You may still be fighting every day of your life, and you will fight every day of your life as long as to fight in that war, but that warfare is accomplished and the victory has already been won. And the captain of your salvation, having obtained that victory, is seated at the right hand of God and is making intercession for you. Your warfare is accomplished. What does the elder say? Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse. This is referring back to a prophecy out of Genesis. This is referring back to a time when Jacob would bless his sons. And he would say that the scepter would not depart from the hand of David till Shiloh come. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David. This one is king. When we think of a lion, we think of the king of beasts. We think of a powerful animal. A strong animal. One that fears nothing. That is the object of fear. In fact, Satan is described as a roaring lion in order to inspire us with reverence and fear. Not that we should fear Satan as we fear God, but that we should fear Satan and be wary of him, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So what we have here is a picture of Jesus as a lion, powerful, glorious, kingly. After they opened the book and to loose the seven seals thereof, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Look at the contrast. The elder says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. John says, I saw a lamb. Not just any lamb, but a lamb as it were slain. The elder says, a lion prevailed. John sees a lamb. Do you see the contrast? What we have in the person of Jesus Christ is not only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. In fact, Revelation is one of the most richest books in the Bible in vivid images of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is described repeatedly and vividly and differently almost every page. He's described here as the Lion, the tribe of Judah. He's described as a lamb as it were slain. Later on, he'll be described as one riding a white horse with a vesture on his side. A vesture of name on his vesture on his side. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with a two-edged sword that proceeded out of his mouth, with which he will judge the nations. He's described as the bridegroom. Weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Weep not. Behold the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to set our affections on Christ. We need to look steadfastly upon Jesus. As Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What else is this but Jesus Christ and Him crucified? The Lion of the tribe of Judah who appears as a lamb, as it were, slain. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because in Jesus Christ, to the gospel is, as it is taught to us in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, He is that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that this world is full of witnesses to that truth. That very truth that Jesus rose on the third day is more abundantly witnessed than any other piece of history. Jesus rose. And there is no truth of more vital importance to us today than that fact. Jesus rose. Because it means something. Jesus rose. Now, in some respects, it's a life thing that He should rise. It's a more miraculous event that He should die at all. Being who He was, is, forgive me for referring to the Lord in the past tense, He's the fountain of life. How could the very fountain of life possibly stay dead? But His resurrection testifies to His identity. It's the sign of Jonas. No sign shall be given this generation but the sign of Jonas. As Jonas was in the belly of the earth for 3 days, as Jonas was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And He arose. And when He arose, He testified that He was everything He ever said He was. When He said, before Abraham was, I am. When He rose from the dead, He testified that was true. When He said, I am the Father, the Father in me, when He rose from the dead, to testify that He is right. When He said, my Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, when He rose from the dead, He testified and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was absolutely true. And John sees Him here, a lamb, as it were slain. When we begin to understand the death of Christ, just to meditate on who is Jesus. Just, who is He? In Matthew, we see the King of the Jews. He's the one who is the rightful heir to the throne of David. And not only the kingdom of Israel, but more importantly, He is the King of the kingdom of heaven. He is the King of the kingdom of heaven. You know, you can't have a kingdom without a king. If you don't have a king, it's not a kingdom. It could be a democracy, it could be a republic, it could be a dictatorship, but for it to be a kingdom, it's got to have a king. If I'm not deceived, we are assembled tonight in the kingdom of heaven. That means we have a king. Now remember, the children of Israel, they wanted a king. They wanted a king that would come in and go out before them. And they wanted a king for two reasons. There were two things they were looking for in a king. They wanted a king that would lead them in battle. One that would fight their battles for them. And they wanted a king who would judge them. To sit as a supreme court and help them settle disputes and give them an opportunity to appeal. They wanted two things. They wanted someone to lead them in battle and someone to sit in judgment. And that is what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has led us in battle and has won the victory. Jesus is victorious, has been victorious in every battle. Even the ones that looked like He was losing, He won! Oh,
he was losing, but he was winning.
Great is the mystery of godliness. Jesus did not die in weakness. He did not die in defeat. But in fact, when he did die, it was victory. It was victory. Because when he died, he bruised the serpent's head. When he died, he redeemed your soul from eternal damnation. And he took your place in hell and gave you his place in heaven. He was not defeated on the cross, but he was victorious on the cross. He didn't experience victory, I think, when he rose from the grave. He experienced his victory on the cross. I know that. He said two things to convince me that he obtained the victory on the cross. First of all, he said, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." You ever thought about that? You ever meditated on that? I lied. He said more. Let me go through what I have. Because I'll think of another one when I get to started, right? He told that thief. He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Do you realize the significance of that? Today. Now I want you to understand that days did not change at midnight like they do now. In biblical times, we would already be in Monday. Because as soon as the sun went down, it wasn't Sunday anymore, it was Monday. Okay? So, by the time the sun went down, it was a new day. So for him to say, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," he meant before the sun set that he and that thief would both be together in paradise. Jesus cannot lie.
Amen.
He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Now I want you to remember early in the morning he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But as he hung suspended between heaven and earth, and he bore our sins in his own flesh, he did not say, "Father." He cried, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to be interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Nowhere else in Scripture does Jesus refer to him as my God. But at that point, that relationship was severed. Do you realize it took the sundering of the Trinity to redeem your soul? And Jesus endured the wrath of God that day. He endured the fullness of the lake of fire that day. Because that's what we had earned. We should have been there. It should have been us crying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." But it wasn't. It was him. And because of that, he's promised that in six troubles, he will be with us in six troubles, and in seven, no evil will touch us. Do you understand that? We will never endure what Jesus endured. We will never know what it means to be severed from God, from the mercies of God, from the goodness of God, from the love of God, because he endured that in our stead. But when that time was over, he cried, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." I believe that means that when he gave up the ghost, he was received into heaven's pure world. Just like when we give up the ghost, we are received into heaven's pure world. And when that thief gave up the ghost, he was received into heaven's pure world. And before the sun set, both of them were in paradise with God the Father. Jesus obtained the victory on Calvary's cross. He rose again for a testimony unto us and to the world, they may be without excuse, that all would know this truth. truly is the Son of God. Truly. Just like that centurion who smote upon his breast and said, truly, this is the Son of God. Jesus did not die defeated. He died victorious. And even his sins. We would think that our death would be our defeat, but it's not. Paul said, it is better for me to depart and be with Jesus, but it's more useful for you to remain. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Speaking of Peter's death, John says in the tail end of his gospel, thus he signified by what death he would glorify God. So that even in their death, Paul and Peter and Stephen did not die in weakness. Can you imagine the joy? Now, I want you to think about this. This man is being stoned, okay? He's being gnashed on with their teeth. They're biting him, okay? That's what that means. They're gnashing on him with their teeth. That does not sound pleasant, does it? However, while they're biting on him, he says, behold, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Right, that's my point. Reverend, that is my point. He is being beaten. He's being gnashed on with their teeth. And he looks up, and what does he see? He says, the heavens are open, and there's Jesus. And nothing else matters anymore. Nothing else matters anymore. In the midst of his tribulation, in the midst of his sorrow, even in the hour of his death, he looks up and he sees heaven open and he sees Jesus, and nothing else matters anymore. And they're stoning him with stones, and it says he fell asleep. Doesn't this sound so peaceful? He fell asleep. Brethren, there is nothing peaceful about what's going on with Brother Stephen except for one day. He's able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the point I want to make this afternoon. Weep not. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Israel. Behold the captain of your salvation. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Behold, the I Am. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He knew what that meant, and everybody who heard him knew what he meant when he said it. Behold, Jesus wins. Prevail. Jesus hath prevailed. That's the point, isn't it? There's nothing that you leave this afternoon with but this one point. Jesus hath prevailed. A lot of people have tried very hard to understand the book of Revelations. A lot of people have come up with some very strange and unusual ideas reading the book of the Revelations. It's probably had more stuff written about it than any other book. And the gamut of interpretation is the widest out there. I heard a story. They asked an old brother. And he said he understood the book of Revelation. He says, what do you mean you understand the book of Revelation? Nobody understands the book of Revelation. He says, I understand it. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. If you read this book, if you get that Jesus wins, you understand it. And I'm not trying to deny anything else, but I do want you to understand the primary point of this revelation is the fact that Jesus wins. He has prevailed. And whenever you're weeping, whatever you're weeping, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. When Peter walked down on the troubled sea, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked. Imagine that. That's just amazing. Here is Peter, a man of like passions, even as we are. You can read about Peter. He had some of the same kinds of faults and failings that we do. He had a little problem with whooping mouth disease, as some of us do. You know what I'm talking about. He was a man of like passions, even as we are. He gets out there and he's walking on the water. Walking on it. This is not a calm, serene lake. Oh, this is the tempest, the storm, the wave.